This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Thursday as we churn through everything. Just to make a final point to the point we were finishing up last hour. I don't know why I have something caught in my throat. I feel like Lindsey Graham. All right. I'm right. What, Chris? Anyway. Threats against Congress, they're up for a third year in a row. We have seen the assassination, an attempted assassination of business leaders and political leaders in this country in recent years at a pace we never saw before. Allow me to give one more warning to corporate leaders. No, I obviously don't want any harm to come to you. Please don't harm anybody. But the anger of the population is rising. The violence in this population, it is rising. And you can get so wrapped up, so stuck in your bubble, your corporate wealthy bubble, with your fancy retreats in Barbados and things like that. You can get so wrapped up in that corporate fancy bubble that you can't see outside of it. Stop giving American jobs to foreigners. Stop that. And you know what? Speaking of bubbles, these wealthy actors and things like that who talk about revolution, it's time for revolution, it's time for civil war. I want to caution everyone on the left and right, stop talking like that, please. And so many people who talk like that either don't understand what a revolution, what a civil war is actually like, or, and this is very, very common, they don't think it'll ever actually visit them. It won't come to them, of course. It will. It absolutely will. I'll tell you about a dark conversation I had years ago. Never told you this before. So, you know, I grew up in Montana. Well, I moved to Montana when I was 10. I grew up in Montana. Montana is famous for many things. One of the prettiest, if not the prettiest state in the country. It's just wonderful. I love Montana. Montana is also famous for militia, the Montana militia. There are several, there's not one, there's several different militia groups. You might call them patriot groups, you might call them rebellious groups, groups that are planning to overthrow the country or rebel against the government and things like that. Of course, these groups are all infiltrated and infected with feds by now, so just keep that in mind. But there are a lot of genuine Montana militia types. I have met and talked to several of them. And they train, by the way. They go out, they train, they hike, they shoot, they train. So I was talking to one of these guys. We were going hunting, and we were actually at a diner getting ready to kick off deer hunting that morning. Just gabbing with these guys, what he's shooting, whatever. It ended up into a long conversation. We're talking with these guys. And he was very forward, way too forward. He's probably in prison by now for sure, but way too forward about, you know, the militia and what they're doing and their training and they're training to fight the government, all that stuff years ago. And during the course of his blabbermouthing about everything they were doing, he told me that they actually had a group of them. It was small. I don't remember the number. I was a teenager when I had this conversation. I want to say it was under 10. I don't want to give you a number. It was a small group. But there were a group of them. And you know what they were doing? Or what they were planning? If the communist revolution ever really kicked off and it turns into a hot revolution, bombing, shooting, stabbings, and whatnot, they were going to focus exclusively on hunting down Hollywood actors who had encouraged it. You know that? Now, obviously, that's terrible. That's terrible. Please don't do that. Don't hurt anybody. Don't break the law. Don't plan to hurt anybody. But these people, well, this guy, Giancarlo Esposito.
We will not be iced out. This is not going to happen. They can't take us all down. If the whole world showed up on Putin's doorstep or on the Iranians' doorstep or in Washington, it would stop. They'll kill 550 million, however, but the rest of us would survive with a new... This is time for...
They can't kill us all. The rest of us would survive. Are you sure you're going to survive? Stop talking like that. Stop sending brain-dead street animals to their death. Every time these people talk like this, they're sending street animals to their death, and they're convinced that that is never going to come to their doorstep, ever. No. I'll always be in Beverly Hills. No, I'll always be... Are you sure about that? Are you 100% sure about that? Stop saying this. Stop talking like this. That stuff can come to anyone's doorstep. Yours, mine, wealthy, famous people, people with fences, people in gated neighborhoods, people with bodyguards. You look around at that stuff and you convince yourself, it can't happen to me. Donald Trump has Secret Service protection supplemented with all kinds of private security, travels with it at all times, and if he doesn't turn his head at the exact moment, he gets his brains blown out. There is nobody on this planet who is entirely safe from violence should violence break out. That's not how it works. What do you know about the Yugoslav wars? Probably not much. Don't worry. I'm not going to go off on a big history tangent, but it's one of those subjects that I find really fascinating. There used to be this country, Yugoslavia, you know, and it had all these different parts of it, Serbia and Slovenia, and they had all these different parts of it. And it eventually broke out into this terrible, absolutely terrible, this was in the 90s, this terrible civil war where the countries, it became religious and ethnic, and they start... It's all kinds of stuff to it. Terrible stuff. Torture and death and things like that. But so many of the leaders died. You died. You, just because you're fancy with bodyguards and stuff like that. So many died. Hey, Jesse, big fan of your work. Just wanted to ask, how do I help? I send letters to Congress people. I try to talk to people. So on, people are dumb. How do I help? All right. I've talked about this before. Let me tell you again. If you are frantic to help save the country, I understand that. Me too. You want to help. You want to save things. I got that. Me too. Start smaller. You cannot save the country. I cannot save the country. The problems are too big. That if you start trying to save America, the problems are too big. You're just going to be frustrated. Save your town. Save your school board. Save your county. I know you want to fix the United States Senate. I got it. I know you want dorks like this out of the Senate.
We're at a critical point in the history of our nation. We are seeing something that is absolutely unprecedented. It actually goes back 250 years in Boston when the Minutemen and Minutewomen rose up in order to stand against King George and his arbitrary imposition of laws illegally upon American citizens.
You can't do anything about Senator Ed Markey. Nothing. Nothing. You know you probably have local elections coming up. Are you running for them? Are you involved? If you're not running, are you helping somebody? You know the people who are running, probably some good people running. You know they need help. You know this weekend, maybe tonight, there's a meet and greet at a local restaurant, there won't be many people there because no one cares. 15 people will show up, meet the candidates, figure out what makes them tick. Are you going to go? I know the game's on tonight, but is there a game? Well, whatever. You understand what I mean. Are you going to go? Save your town. Save your county. Save your state. We talk about national politics, and it is important. Don't get me wrong. But if you wake up every day and you take it upon yourself to save America, that's going to be frustrating, man. It's going to be very frustrating. Our problems are always going to be there. Save what's 2 inches in front of your face first, then worry about saving the country. Are you still living with pain? What about saving yourself first? Have you tried Relief Factor to get the pain out of your life? Have you? Does your neck hurt all the time? Your back or your knee? Does it hurt all the time? That chronic daily pain? What have you done about it? Relief Factor is a supplement, 100% drug-free supplement. Over 1 million people have tried it. Did you know almost 70% go on and order more when they try it? They sell you 3 weeks of it to start out. They say, they just tell you, try it, 3 weeks. $19.95 is 3 weeks of it. If you like it, you find your pain has been turned down, maybe turned off, call them. Order more. 1-800-4-RELIEF or relieffactor.com. Pain does not always have to be with you. I promise it does not. There are solutions for it. All right? All right. We'll do some emails, knock some of these things out. They're also opening an embassy in Venezuela, and I want in. Next.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Thursday. Remember, tomorrow's Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. You need to get your questions emailed in now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Hey, Jesse, questions like this one. Who's your favorite James Bond? I like Daniel Craig and Roger Moore. I like Roger Moore. I thought he was excellent, excellent. I liked Sean Connery, might be my favorite, excellent. Daniel Craig was good for about one or two movies, and then he started doing the weepy modern James Bond thing. I'm always sad, I'm always dead. Oh my gosh, that's not James Bond. James Bond, and I want to express this because they're going to come up with a new Bond soon, and they're really struggling with it. So let me explain something to all the dorks in Hollywood who keep producing flop after flop after flop, and you need to hear me on this. You know what James Bond is? He's a caricature of what every man wishes he was, right? Not that he's not supposed to be realistic. We don't want to see gritty and real. James Bond is a caricature. He's basically whatever man wishes he was magnified by 10. He has gadgets. Who doesn't want gadgets? I love gadgets. Everybody loves gadgets. The most beautiful women in the world. They're all over him. All of them. He has the fastest, best cars, the fanciest suits. He has guns. He, of course, speaks every language on the planet. He's a caricature of what every man wants to be. Therefore, when I go watch the new James Bond movie that has Daniel Craig in it, I don't want to see him crying over a freaking woman. All right, I don't want to see weepy and earnest and I want to see what, Chris? What? What did I think of Pierce Brosnan? I think he might be the best one ever. I'm not even kidding. I think Pierce Brosnan might have been the greatest James Bond ever. He was exactly that. A caricature. It's not supposed to be gritty and real. That's for other things. James Bond is a caricature, all right? Stop making him weepy and effeminate. There's enough of that in society. I don't want to see it ever again. Jesse, you were probably distracted by your gimpy knee. For one, that's mean, okay? What, Chris? It still hurts today, too. And, oh, you think you're being mean? I get home last night. Remember, I told you I did lunges 2 days ago. Woke up yesterday. My knee was a little sore and stiff. I chose to forge ahead like a Marine, and I chose to go ahead and do my cardio, and I did a ruck yesterday. Good hard walk, right? By the time I got done, it was warmed up, little sore. By the time I got out of the shower, I could hardly bend my leg. I was limping all day yesterday. Jewish producer Chris and producer Corey were not very nice. By the time I got home last night, it had not gotten any better. I walked in the door, and you see, this thing is Av always accuses me very falsely of pushing it too hard when I work out and hurting myself. That's not what happened at all. That's not what happened, Chris. Stop taking her side. So I'm trying to cover up the limp I have when I walk in the door. She kind of notices it, but I make up a quick lie. Oh, no, my leg's just sore. She goes to the room. She's folding laundry, doing all kinds of stuff. I go grab some ice from my ice maker. Not to brag, but I have an ice maker. Makes ice in my house as much as I want. I put the ice really quickly in a big Ziploc bag. I go sit down because I think she's gone for a while. I put my leg up and I drop that ice pack on it, trying to make it so I can bend my leg. And I kid you not, I must be cursed. I'm there 1 minute with my leg up, and out comes Ob. Takes a look at me with the ice on my knee, and immediately I have to start hearing it. Pushed it a little hard again, huh? I tell you about it all the time. So I'm already suffering enough. A gimpy knee. I'm having to get the I told you so's from Ob. I don't need them from you at all, right? And I stopped sending me emails for recommendations on how to fix the knee and stuff like that. Actually, I take that back. The genuine ones were really nice, but some were not very nice. You were distracted by your gimpy knee, but I'll remind you of the history documentary Ben-Hur, narrated by Charlton Heston. It was all about the world-class Roman rowing teams, always having the guy in the fifth seat wearing the leather bandolier and banging the drum in the fourth seat to keep morale high. You already know that me, Chris, and Corey were going to start a rowing team. I've decided, based off this email, I'm going to be the guy that keeps morale high while Chris and Corey do the actual rowing. I'm going to offer coaching tips whenever coaching tips are there. Whenever I feel like the pace isn't what it should be, I'll offer feedback. What, Chris? I have the longest arms. Why am I not rowing? I need to keep morale high, Chris. That's more important than long arms. Making sure you and Corey are all in and motivated. My job is to help you be the best you can be. That's going to be my job. All right? All right. Why can't Trump just pass an executive order for all this welfare? Hang on.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Thursday. If you miss any part of the show, you can download it. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Chris, Corey, that song, Stroke Me by Billy Squire. It's called The Stroke. Whatever, Chris, I'm not a geologist. I've decided that song is probably going to be played in the boat. I'm going to bring along a Bluetooth speaker as I give you two motivation to row harder and faster for our rowing team. Corey looked it up. Apparently there's a name for the guy who is in charge. That would be me. It's the coxswain. Do I have that right? It is the coxswain. So I would like to be referred to in the studio from now on, please. Just call me coxswain. You don't even have to say Jesse or whatever, coxswain, and I will understand that, then you'll know who you're talking to, all right? Coxswain. I'm running things around here. I'll keep morale high. U.S. moves fast to reopen Venezuela embassy after a years-long freeze. I want to be part of this. And here's why I want to be part of this. I hear Venezuela is beautiful. I hear the food, whenever you can find some, is delicious. I obviously know that this is going to be a key hub for spying, as all embassies are. There's going to be a communist insurgency in Venezuela because they had communism for so long. There's going to be a communist insurgency there trying to keep Americans out. I should be part of this effort to go down. I'll establish a residence inside the embassy. Chris, Corey, we will find rivers where we can row. Don't worry. Coxswain Jesse is going to be there. That will be part of our cover as we go out into the community and gather critical intelligence. We will have gadgets. I've already been thinking about this. In fact, I was thinking about it during the break. Our oars will have poison darts inside of them for, listen, Chris, for assassination. Whenever we're forced to do a little wet work, if you will, our oars will have poison darts in them. We're going to set up our boat with a camera system. What, Chris? What? Why am I not just the next James Bond? You think I haven't asked? I've put in a resume 5 times. I've not heard a word back from Hollywood at all. Maybe the lack of acting experience. Doesn't matter. I stand ready to serve, Mr. President. If the embassy is opening, I am here. Jesse, why can't Trump make an executive order to not provide benefits, housing, health care, education, to illegals? How can Donald Trump make an executive order like that when Congress is trying to fund it as we speak? You get frustrated with Donald Trump from time to time. Totally understandable. I do too. Totally understandable. Remember this, though. There is not one seat of power in this country. The country was not designed like that. There are all kinds of seats of power in Congress, in the Senate, in the judicial system. There is power in the individual states, in counties, in cities and towns. There are seats of power all over the country. So many of these, quote, benefits, Congress passes these spending bills that stroke huge checks to these NGOs. The NGOs, their job is to pay for this stuff. And so many of the benefits don't actually come directly from the federal government. They are paid by the states themselves. Now, the Trump administration, they're trying to cut this money off because money is fungible. For example, here's how it can work and does work. California, great example of this because they're probably the worst offender in the country. California wants to hand large amounts of taxpayer money to the foreigners who keep Democrats in power in that state. So the state of California writes those checks to the foreigners. But how could they possibly afford such a thing? The federal government writes checks to California for various things. It's the power of the purse that can and should be used by Republicans in Washington to bring foreign city states, foreign states that are hostile to us, to heal. The power of the purse. And they're trying to use it all over the place. Hey, you won't show us your voter rolls? No money. You're going to keep being a sanctuary city, a sanctuary state? No money. So on and so forth. This kind of stuff. This is Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison trying to find the name of the ICE guy.
And I mean, it really speaks to the fact that it's rather absurd that the names are not public already. I can't imagine another. I mean, look, I've been a lawyer for 36 years. I've never seen anything like this before.
The entire Minnesota state government is in open rebellion against the country. Not one dime of federal money should go to Minnesota while they're in open rebellion to the country. Think about how think about any open rebellion you've read about in history, historically. The Roman Empire, because there was always some rebellion going on somewhere. But Jerusalem, that's a good one, Chris. Jerusalem was always in rebellion before the Romans finally had enough of them. Think about the Jerusalem being in rebellion, mounting an army to fight Roman troops, and Rome, at the same time, dropping off large quantities of money to the people running Jerusalem. It'd be crazy, right? That's nuts. That's what we do. It's crazy. Jesse, listening to your show last night when you talked about internet searches, people showing people not interested in Minnesota, this is why I'm so black-pilled about the future. I feel helpless. Posting on social media makes no difference. People don't like being told to go vote or who for. I engage people when I can with the truth, but I get one or two responses shouted down or basically laughed at, saying it's not communism or, quote, not that bad. You can't save everybody. Remember the analogy I used at the opening of the show, the hungry, hungry hippos analogy. All the people in our country, they're the balls at the center of that game. You are a hippo. I am a hippo. The communists, they're hippos too. We are in a competition to who can grab the most balls. You're not going to grab them all. The communists get to play too. They do. The communists get to play. And they tell huge lies on television all the time in an effort to get people to buy in to their side. You have to counter those lies with the truth. Your liberal Aunt Peggy, she doesn't know what's real and what's not. You can and should compete for her. You're in a game of hungry, hungry hippos. Compete for her. Don't let the commie hippos have all the balls, the red hippos. Don't be disheartened because you lose some. Can be easy, especially on social media, it can be easy. You're arguing with people, you're presenting facts. Here's a video, but what about this statistic? And it's like you're talking to the wall. It's because the commie hippos got them first. They got them before you did. All right. Let it go. Keep moving on. All right? All right. We'll knock out a couple more emails before we get to headlines I didn't get to in our final segment. Next.
Miss something?
There's a podcast.
Get it on demand wherever podcasts are found. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Thursday. Tomorrow's Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. You can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. I saw this story from the Associated Press, and it just gave me the snickers, something terrible. What is it? Well, you know, the Winter Olympics are coming up, and as I said before, I grew up in Montana, and winter sports are just part of it up there. Most of the time, you go sledding because it doesn't cost anything. Occasionally, you go skiing. Why just occasionally? Skiing's freaking expensive. It's expensive to go up and go skiing. You have to go rent boots and rent skis, and it's expensive. We didn't have a lot of money, so we didn't go skiing a lot. I've been skiing plenty of times, but not all the time. It's a wealthy sport. And black people, percentage-wise, don't make as much money as white people. They just don't. In the United States of America, they don't. They're always at the bottom of the poverty tree. So, you know how many black people I've seen on the ski hill in my life? Chris said one. Nope, try again. Zero. Never. I'm sure they've been up there. I have never one time in my entire life seen a black person on a ski hill. One, there aren't a lot of black people who live in super cold environments like that. Two, because they grow up not in those cold environments and not with as much money, they don't take up skiing. They do other things. Nothing wrong with that. I heard this story, man, and it just made me friggin' laugh because no one can be honest about anything anymore.
Migration from Africa and the Middle East is changing the demographics of Europe's top winter sports countries, but that hasn't really translated to their largely white rosters heading to the Milan Cortina Winter Olympics. For instance, Team Sweden is almost entirely made up of ethnically Swedish athletes, which is hardly a reflection of the country's diversity, as Sweden has welcomed historic numbers of asylum seekers in recent decades. Experts point to social, financial, and geographical barriers and believe there needs to be a big cultural shift for anything to change. There are also financial and geographical factors at play too. Immigrants typically live in major urban areas, away from skiing hubs in the mountains, and are in less privileged economic positions. Participating in winter sports can be very expensive. While some countries like Sweden offer programs to young children that give them access to free ski equipment and the slopes, experts also believe that more needs to be done by winter sports to improve accessibility, specifically for immigrants and underserved communities.
What should be done? That's life. It's, everybody shouldn't be involved in everything. Some people, they're going to be excluded from things. And that's the way it is. This world, man. Sometimes I feel old. Jesse, please explain to our fellow Americans the difference between a rifle and pistol, magazine, and a clip. If I hear just one more firearms expert say the dude in Minnesota had an extra clip, my head is going to explode. This is from a retired Marine. All right. Let's get this over with here. That thing, I'm going to put this in the most basic terms possible. That thing that holds a lot of rounds in it, it goes into a pistol or something like, how can I explain this to people? Know, like an M16, something like that, an AR. That is a magazine. That is not a clip. What is a clip? Well, a clip is exactly almost what it sounds like. An M1 Garand. Do you know what an M1 Garand is? If not, shame on you. I'm kidding. Everyone has their own knowledge. The M1 Garand came around in World War II. We originally didn't have it. They developed it and started giving it out to our guys. I, by the way, am in love with the M1 Garand. I think it weighs about 45 pounds. I'm exaggerating, but it's unbelievably heavy. It's deadly accurate. I've shot them multiple times. I love it. Have you ever watched a movie and seen people shooting an M1 Garand? Have you ever heard the ping? Ever heard that? You know what that ping sound is? That is basically the notification to the shooter. The weapon is now empty. It doesn't have any more rounds in it. The pinging sound was the clip coming out of it. If you look at an M1 Garand clip, it's a clip because it's just this little metal piece that you clip rounds into. That is a clip. You clip rounds into a clip. You load rounds into a magazine. Please stop calling magazines a clip. They're magazines or mags. I know everybody has their different levels of firearm knowledge. Just want to delay that out there as frankly as I possibly could. Also, it would be so brutal being a Democrat.
We're at a critical point in the history of our nation. We are seeing something that is absolutely unprecedented. It actually goes back 250 years in Boston when the Minutemen and Minutewomen rose up in order to stand against King George and his arbitrary imposition of laws illegally upon American citizens.
The Minutemen and Minute Women.
And now,
here's a headline.
By go, you know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Affordability. Auto insurance rates flatten amid Trump's deportations. That's another thing we don't talk about enough. How high insurance rates are because we have loads and loads of foreigners who come into the country. They don't buy insurance. Then they get smashed and go out and kill your family on the highway. Mexican President Sheinbaum says the government suspended oil shipments to Cuba. We are slowly but surely tightening the noose on Cuba. we are going to make that government collapse. And I'm very, very happy for the Cuban people. I've told you before, I love Cubans. I know so many Cubans who worked very hard and became Americans. They're the most hardcore anti-communists I know. Plus, their music is great and their food is delicious. They're just wonderful people. Good for Cubans. Moscow records heaviest snowfall in over 200 years. Time for someone to invade again. Japan has a bar for people thinking of quitting their jobs, and drinks are free. That makes a lot of sense. You do make the best decisions in life when you get hammered at a bar. I will return tomorrow for Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. That's all.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.